It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Coming up on the program today, Montgomery County District Attorney Risa Vetri Furman has announced criminal charges against Pennsylvania Attorney General Kathleen Kane. We'll get the latest from Patriot News and Penn Live opinions editor John Misick in Harrisburg. Also today, as America marks the 70th anniversary of the end of World War II, we'll look at the story behind the Steagles, a unified Pennsylvania team combining the Steelers and the Philadelphia Eagles in 1943. First up today, the Fraternal Order of Police is turning 100, and the organization is not only celebrating its centennial birthday, the National Fraternal Order of Police is holding its 62nd National Conference here in Pittsburgh this weekend. Founded by two Pittsburgh officers in 1915, the organization represents thousands of law enforcement officers in lodges across the country. National FOP President Chuck Canterbury joins us now by phone. Chuck Canterbury, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much for having us.
How did the Fraternal Order of Police come into existence, and why do you suppose it happened here in Pittsburgh?
Well, I think that Pittsburgh was in the middle of the Iron Belt, if you would, union movement for the train workers and for steel workers at that time were starting to take place in that region of the country. And the police in Pittsburgh were working 7 days a week, 12-hour days, no time off, no benefits, low pay. And two Pittsburgh police officers decided something had to happen, but they didn't want to join any of the traditional unions because they knew law enforcement would be different and that they wouldn't be able to strike. They wouldn't be able to not show up for work. So they wanted something that would be more of a police organization that could go to the public and go to the politicians and discuss their plight. And that's what they did.
So the mission of the Fraternal Order of Police initially, and probably as it continues today, is that it works as a buffer, as an advocate for police, for the government, and sort of spreads a message to the population about what the police are looking to do and why they should be supported and how they should be supported.
Well, it's that as well as to improve the working conditions and benefits for police officers, as well as improve the lives of the citizens that we protect. And that's why the National FOP and every one of our local lodges nationwide does a tremendous amount of charity work in their own communities because they live there, they work there, they raise their families there, and they want the community to know that they're part of the community. And that's been a continued mission now for 100 years.
Has the mission changed or broadened at all in the last century?
Oh, technology and the recruiting of law enforcement and changes in laws always alter or change any profession, but more especially law enforcement, because as society changes, some things become less important, some things become more important. So there's always a shift in the paradigm in the law enforcement structure. And, you know, as an organization, we've been ahead of that shift in most instances because rank-and-file police officers are working the streets of our city and they know what's going on. And so we've been an advocate to change as well. And we're hoping that, you know, as this century, second century of our existence goes along, that we'll be able to continue to do that.
As long as we're looking back as well as looking ahead, Chuck, why were conditions so bad for police officers in the early part of the 20th century, in 1915?
I believe it was a change in the shift in all of America. We were in the middle or the fading days of the Industrial Revolution, and workers across the board were more like chattel than they were treasured employees. And it just took the union movement in the United States and other movements to create things like child labor laws, equal opportunity laws, workman's compensation, just normal workplace safety issues that didn't make people money or cost money, and it took the workers of this country to stand up and say, look, this is not right. This, you know, we get hurt on the job. Somebody should compensate us while we're recovering. And I think just the whole change in the dynamics in the United States at that time were more towards being worker-friendly.
And Pittsburgh was probably an obvious place to celebrate the 100th anniversary, but describe for us the process of how it was decided that you would come back here, that the organization would come back here for this centennial celebration.
Well, since our inception, the 25th anniversary was held in Pittsburgh, the 50th was held in Pittsburgh, the 75th was held in Pittsburgh, so it was pretty obvious to our members that there was a pattern. And we have a bid system 4 years out where our delegates actually vote for what city in America we want to go to. And every time it comes on one of the 25th anniversary dates, nobody has ever bid except Pittsburgh. So people understand it's our rich history. Pittsburgh's a wonderful city. Our members always enjoy going there. It's a very friendly city. And so it's just, it's basically just been by default. Nobody would ever bid against Pittsburgh in one of those 25th anniversaries.
We're talking with the National Fraternal Order of Police President Chuck Canterbury here on Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, the Fraternal Order of Police, again turning 100 this year, and it is holding its 62nd National Conference here in Pittsburgh this weekend. And Chuck, I'm curious as to how you got your start as a policeman. What interested you in getting involved in a career in law enforcement?
To be perfectly honest with you, I was in college and got married and needed a job with health insurance. And so I went to looking around, and the city employment was one of the best places to do that. And I ended up at the police department. Now, my mother and my uncle both worked for the police department, but really had never considered it. But once I started in the job, I realized very quickly that it was a vocation that I wanted to stick with. So I ended up working 26 years and retired as a major in a police department in the Myrtle Beach, South Carolina area.
So not something you would have necessarily wanted to do in 1915 if you were looking for benefits, but later on, obviously, a good career path.
Well, I thought so. And a young married couple, realizing that health insurance was important. My wife was a school teacher, and it just, you know, my family had a long history of public service. My father was military. My mother worked for the city as well. And once I started doing that kind of work, I very much enjoyed it. And then shortly after my career started, much like our brethren from Pittsburgh, I worked in a police department that did not pay overtime, worked just 6 days a week with one day off, and we decided to seek out an organization that would help us get our message across, and we came upon the Fraternal Order of Police. So I was a charter member in our local lodge and started my local lodge and have been a member ever since.
This past year has put police officers in the news more than before. What is the Fraternal Order of Police doing to address some of the unrest of the past year or so, and how do you plan to improve upon police community relations, which, to say the least, are strained?
Yeah, we believe that they are strained, and we acknowledge that. We don't think that the vast majority of the American public have lost trust in their law enforcement, but we obviously realize that there are segments of our population, and rightfully so, because they have lived in urban blight and in abject poverty for so long, and the only part of government that they see is law enforcement. When there are cries about high crime, mayors and city managers and governors send in law enforcement. And what we've been trying to do for several years is to express to our communities that we're just one spoke in the wheel. If you don't have a holistic approach to helping in those impoverished neighborhoods, law enforcement is not the answer. And when we get sent in with instructions like the Baltimore police did, zero tolerance, we know, and the local FOP in Baltimore knew, that this is going to infuriate the neighborhood. They're going to be mad. It will be their young men we're putting in jail. And even in Baltimore, our local FOP did a blueprint to tell them, this is not the answer. You have got to do something to help this impoverished neighborhood. High unemployment, high infant mortality, low high school graduation rate, no jobs available, and almost everybody on some form of public assistance trying to meek out a job or a living. So we have been working with our partners on Capitol Hill, looking at grant programs. We testified before the President's 21st Century Policing Committee. We expressed our concern about these issues. And I'm grateful to say that the administration has started talking about the same issues that we were talking about last year. And we're hopeful that things will improve. And internally, we're going to try programs to let our lodges know how to get out and get more involved in their individual communities. Plus, we want people to know the millions of dollars that we pump back into charity events in our communities, because that's where we live and raise our families. So we're going to do better at highlighting the things that we're doing that are good for the community.
In Pittsburgh, our police force is having a situation where a lot of the officers hired during a boom in the 1990s are all beginning to retire. How does the FOP plan to tackle the issue of recruitment?
Well, that's a tough issue because it's a problem all over the country. This profession is not as attractive as it used to be. Now that the private sector has realized that to hire good quality employees, you have to provide benefits and working conditions that are commensurate with the position. And what we're finding is in this era of financial distress, our pensions are being gutted, our health care is being gutted, and nobody wants to come and do a dangerous job without getting the benefits that people already that have done the job have. So unless government realizes that, one, they've got to stop reducing standards. The standards to hire a police officer must be kept. They must be maintained. You can't lower standards just because you're having trouble finding people to do the job. And you got to pay salaries and benefits that are commensurate with the job.
We've been talking with National Fraternal Order of Police President Chuck Canterbury, the Fraternal Order of Police turning 100, and Chuck will be in Pittsburgh as the FOP holds its 62nd National Conference here in Pittsburgh over the weekend. Chuck Canterbury, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. Safe travels to Pittsburgh.
Well, thank you very much, and go Bucks.
Thank you for that. Coming up, speaking of sports, the story behind the Steagles, an NFL football team combining players from the Steelers and the Philadelphia Eagles during World War II. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.